Welcome back to Pop Culture Essentials for 2022. Happy New Year and all of that. I am your host, Alistair. Today, I am joined by some other members of the NovaStream team. We're going to be talking about what's coming out at the movies this year, what we're looking forward to, and what we're not looking forward to.
With me for this episode is Nick from Nick's Flicks Fix.
Oh, hey.
We have Brad from The Movie Moose 2. Don't forget the 2.
Yes. Good day, everybody.
2022. And we have Rotten Tomatoes critic Pete.
Hi.
Welcome on in, everyone. How are we?
Good. Thank you. Good, thank you.
Good. Welcome on back. So today we are going to talk about movies that we are excited about for this coming year. Now,
yes.
It's a little bit weird because we've already had... Well, here in Melbourne, we've had 3 screening cancellations in the first week of January. So it's off to a great start. several people have gone down with COVID in the team.
What?
It's infiltrated.
Yes. Thankfully, nowhere near Melbourne. So great. Keep it that way.
Keep it in Queensland.
Yeah, because Melbourne's never had COVID.
No. Never. So I thought today we would talk about probably our top 5 movies that we're looking forward to this year. So let's start with Brad.
Yes. So, yes, controversially, I was a bit iffy about whether I should be doing this podcast or not. Ooh. Just insofar as that really there's nothing I'm all that excited about seeing this year.
Oh, could Brad, just like, to interrupt.
There's the door, Nick, Brad.
Nick is about to hit you with a movie called Moonfall.
Be oh my God.
Careful.
If that's not in
where
your
you
list,
tread,
I'm it's leaving. Not, it's this well, recording. It's,
sorry. I know it should be. I like Roland Emmerich disaster movies as much as the next guy.
You can hear a butt coming. I know I should be. But
I know I should be.
But did you see his last one?
Nobody did.
Anonymous?
Midway.
No, I actually haven't seen Midway.
Midway
actually,
is
no.
terrible.
Yes. I think because of that, I haven't sort of tried to seek it out sort of thing. But, yeah, so it's... I suppose the big thing for me is sort of one of my favourite directors, Taika Waititi, has got 2 films coming out this year. So that's probably the most exciting thing for me with Thor, Love and Thunder, and Next Goal Wins coming out later in the year. So hopefully, I'll be excited about those. Sort of the other ones, I know this is controversial, but I'm kind of looking forward to Death on the Nile.
Oh, yeah.
I like those sort of murder mysteries with an all-star cast and stuff, and I have a lot of fun with those. I'm also looking forward to The Lost City.
Sandra, that looks fun. That looks so much fun.
Sandra Bullock getting back to her romantic comedy roots, and it sort of has a very Romancing the Stone sort of vibe, which I really enjoy. Then sort of the last 2 I was going to mention, I'm more interested in the reactions to them as opposed to the films themselves. And they are The Batman and Avatar 2.
If we get Avatar 2.
Yeah.
If Avatar 2 does come out at the end of the year, I know with James Cameron's reputation, that's highly unlikely.
It's not even on the event cinemas list. So that's how much they don't think it's true.
Yeah. But, I wanted to ask, just on that, I just wanted to ask you guys, what vibe do you get sort of about this film? Do you think there is any love still left for it? Because I just get the impression that it's been too long since the first film, and even now I don't think it's as beloved as what it was back then. Do you think it's going to do anything? Because I mean, he's got allegedly he's filmed 2 and 3 back to back, and then he's supposed to be planning 4 and 5 if 2 and 3 do well.
Mm.
Like, do you think Jesus. We're going to get 4 and 5 or?
I think we're just in a very uncertain time that having so much faith to have 2 and 3 do well enough to get 4 and 5, that's far too optimistic nowadays. Maybe a few years ago, pre-COVID, we could have had that. But I think, I feel like people will go see it out of curiosity. And then there are people that weren't even alive when the first one came out. And they'll probably just think it's something. Like, that's what's scary, that it's been that long. That teenagers.
Something fun their parents went to.
I just, I like, I personally will see it. One, because I'll probably be invited to it. And two, curiosity. But I'm not in any way, shape or form like clamoring for Avatar 2 because I just don't give a shit anymore. Sorry.
Avatar 2's actually on my other list for today's conversation. But since we're talking about it, I'm in the same boat. I just don't know if it's going to come out. We've had no footage, no trailer, no news on it in so long.
Mm.
Yeah.
And my biggest concern is the trap that the first film sort of had, where it was a visually stunning film. It was using technology that hadn't been used in cinema before. It was like, not to be like the Martin Scorsese of the combo, but it was like a theme park ride. It was like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was something we'd never experienced before. It was so exciting, the use of 3D. I'm so worried that they're kind of going to do that again, in the sense of, it's going to look amazing. They'll probably utilize 40X in some way, shape or form. And it'll still just be an okay story that will kind of be more enamored with the technological side of it more than anything.
Well, this one's all underwater, right? So 4DX, you just walk out drenched.
It's just consistently spraying you the whole movie.
I got so wet watching Avatar 2. Oh.
Is that going to be your Rotten Tomatoes vlog line?
So that'll be it. I got so wet.
Avatar 2 made me wet.
Correction, it made me moist because I love that word.
Interesting story about Avatar 1. When I saw it at the movies, there was an issue. Yes, I'm old. There was an issue with the 3D. and they made everyone take out their mobile phones and power them off because they were trying to make us believe that the mobile phones were interfering with the real 3D glasses. And I've never laughed so
hard. It's the radio waves. It's the radio waves from the telephones. Turn it off.
Well, a bit of trivia. The bit of trivia I heard when it was released was that the film went for 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's because at the time that was the like the largest size of hard drive that could hold a film, like a 3D film at the time. The film couldn't be any longer than that because the hard drives at the time couldn't hold it.
They're the fun sort of conspiracy theories. Like, where are those ones these days?
Because I'm sure if Cameron had his chance, he would have made it like 3.5 hours long or something like that. Something ridiculous.
If Cameron
like
had
that.
His way, we'd all still be in a cinema 10 years later, still watching it, I'm sure.
Yeah. We would still be watching Titanic if he had his way. Gosh. In regards to 4 and 5, straight to Disney Plus.
Oh, God, yeah. Avatar 4, the Hulu original.
Yeah, but would Disney prepare to pay a big price tag for 4 and 5?
Because Disney don't have Disney money. Plus?
They
don't care about these Fox titles
poor.
At the moment. Like,
yeah, they're fucking they are burying their movies. It's really quite scary.
Yeah.
Any or other movies?
And I mean,
from you,
Brad? Avatar is it? No, that was it from me. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Not even a movie that surprised me. Puss in Boots 2.
Oh, yes.
Like, I was wondering where the end of that was going. I was like, oh, yes, in Boots 2. Of course.
Apparently, it's real. It is DreamWorks. Yes. It is an official sequel that is apparently coming out this year. Antonio Banderas is back, apparently.
Yep.
Good.
And it's called The Last Wish.
Okay.
He's burned through 8 of his 9 lives, so he sets out on a journey to find the last wish to restore his 9 lives.
That All makes right. no sense.
I would have anyway. Been very against this film if Antonio Banderas had not come back. That was probably the one thing I've been waiting to hear the news on, but yeah.
Yes. Well, you can. I was like, well.
Nick saying it was a joke was funnier than his actual joke.
Well, September 15 for you, Nick.
I can't wait. I'm counting down the days.
You'll be there. Oh, God. All right, Nick, hit us with your list.
Oh, God. Well, in the mood of comedy right now, I was, like, I grew up in the 2000s. I'm an MTV kid, and, like, unironically, Jackass Forever is, like, honestly one of the movies I'm most excited for this year. I haven't watched the new trailer. I only watched the first trailer. I laugh at everything. There's so much nostalgia. I've watched all the Jackass movies now leading up to it. Like, I am so excited for Jackass Forever because I feel like it's a swan song for the old guys and they're bringing on a new crew. So, and I just love debauchery. So I think that's going to be fun. I'm trying to stick away from some of the big ones because I like Brad as well. I'm excited for the Batman, but there's one coming out from A24 called Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the Daniels. The Daniels are the guys who made Swiss Army Man back in 2016, the one where Daniel Radcliffe was the farting corpse who uses his boner as a compass, which I thought was hilarious. But the
such a good elevator pitch.
Good times in the cinema.
imagine trying to like get the funding for this movie. It's like, so what's your movie about? It's like a farting corpse who uses his boner as a compass, and that boner compass is Daniel Radcliffe, and they're like, here's $1 million.
Yeah.
It's got Michelle Yeoh, who I love, but have you guys seen the trailer for this movie?
Yes, it looks insane.
It looks insane. It's like, it's literally just a multiverse movie, but not in the way you would expect it. And I know I think it's opening South by Southwest this year, so we'll probably hear some stuff about it real soon, like in March, so I'm excited for that. Mm-hmm. The Northman from Robert Eggers.
Yep.
Looks incredible. He's 2 for 2 for me with The Witch and The Lighthouse, and this just looks like an epic Viking tale. I can't wait for that. Obviously, as we've joked about, Roland Emmerich's Moonfall. I watched the trailer just before we started recording to make sure I still am excited for it, and there has been no wane in excitement at all for this movie because it looks so trash, and I cannot wait to sit in that cinema and just chew popcorn, scull a beer, and just watch the moon, this like nanobyte digital moon, crash into the earth. And the you know what I'm excited for? The human story. That's what I'm really excited for.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of it, and it'll be very well written.
And the last one I've gone for, and I feel like this is a tentative 2022 release date, but Knives Out 2. I can't wait for this movie. The cast alone has got me so excited for it. Anything with Catherine Hahn in these days, I'm sold. Because I think she's incredible. And then obviously Rian Johnson writing and directing. And the fact that Netflix paid, like, was it $400 million for both sequel, for 2 and 3? So they obviously, like, I know they got the money to throw around. They just greenlit two Red Notice sequels. But, like, I'm on board with Knives Out 2 on it, like murder on a super yacht, it looks like. So sign me up. I'm keen.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. Pete, hit us with your list.
Well, if this was a list happening earlier in the year, I would have said Scream, but that's already out. But I mean,
I
can still include it because my God. I was excited for this film. People that follow me on social media are probably sick of me talking about it and plugging it. But it is out there in the world, and I really hope everyone that feels comfortable enough going to the films or going to the cinemas goes to see it, because it's so good. It lives up to every expectation I think people have. It's like truly honoring the original film in a way that I wasn't expecting. So I'm so happy it's out there in the world. Another one that I'm obviously looking forward to that everyone's mentioned is The Batman. We won't go into it, but I don't see anybody not being somewhat excited for that film.
Hmm.
And Oh, okay. I'll just shut my goddamn mouth. Another film I'm looking forward to, and it's probably not like, I don't know, it might not be one that everybody is thinking of, but it is, Don't Worry, Darling. Don't Worry, Darling. Olivia Wilde's follow-up to Booksmart, Florence Pugh, Harry Styles, some murder mystery. I think the little tiny bit of footage that was on social media like a couple months ago, that movie looks stunning. Mm. So I'm very excited about that. And I think Olivia Wilde's like a fucking great filmmaker. Like Booksmart was incredible.
Oh, yeah. Booksmart's incredible.
Yes. I agree.
And because it's one of my favorite men ever in probably what's going to be really tight spandex, let's look forward to Black Adam.
Fair enough.
The Rock in superhero attire? Yes, please.
You get both of your boys this year. If
I get, yes, and I get my newly single Momo in Aquaman 2. So,
Hate to break it to you.
What?
Momoa is mine.
Oh, right.
You can have The Rock.
Oh, that was an amicable split. That was not. There we go. Everyone wins.
Because an amicable split doesn't know everyone's going to fucking agree with it, but anyway. I got skills. That's all I'm saying.
Fine. We can swap every 6 months.
All right.
Right.
And make sure you leave some time for Kong in there, too. You can edit that bit out. Sure. I don't think they'll understand.
You can have him over Christmas.
No, so basically, there was a sex joke about Kong. And he can be the big finish. Take that as 40X. You will. As I will. 40X. So that's
wear your
probably,
3D glasses, yeah.
That's probably it. And then because I'm queer and I love Jennifer Lopez, I'm kind of looking forward to Marry Me. Sue me.
Yes.
That trailer's hilarious, though. Like, that actually looks like a really funny romantic comedy.
Cannot wait.
I'm all over that soundtrack. So, those are the ones that I'm looking forward to this year.
Nice. We all have very different lists. We are steering clear of the big blockbusters. Apart from the Batman, which I'm not looking forward to at all.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about that.
Separate podcast.
Maybe.
No one said Monster Family 2? No?
There was a reason we didn't say it.
It's an honourable mention. There's an honourable mention. Right there next to Puss in Boots 2.
Morbius. Ah.
Oh, God. Another
Morbius
one.
Morbius isn't real.
If that's going to go Avatar 2, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
They just filmed the trailer and went, oh, this is bad. Shit.
And like, yeah, we'll film it next week. We'll film it next week. And then the release date comes up. It's like, have you guys filmed Morbius yet? It's like, no, shit.
Yeah. All right, quickly. Do we believe that they've done the reshoots for Andrew Garfield?
Oh.
I don't know. I feel like reshoots don't take 3 months, right? Like, for a cameo.
Maybe because of his contract they had to.
Maybe.
And I
love that rumor.
But there's a lot of people talking about the fact that, like, Jared Leto could end up with an Oscar nomination for House of Gucci, and then they might sort of then use, I don't know.
If he gets an Oscar nomination for that movie, I can't talk about that.
Maybe they're just still getting him out of the makeup so they can get him ready for Morbius. Got to get out of that House of Gucci makeup so he can get to the Morbius makeup.
Yeah. It's a me. I'm Morbius.
Oh, so bad.
Are you Chris Pratt? Is that such a good impersonation. Chris,
no, I actually love my wife.
Oh.
Jesus.
Ooh. Well, moving on from that, so my list is a little different. Flea, I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
This so good. Just has won over 20 film awards already.
Yes.
And I believe it's already released internationally. Someone tell me yes or no.
Believe so. I saw it at Brisbane International Film Fest last year, and it's phenomenal.
I saw it at Sydney. Right. Sydney Film Festival too. It's excellent.
Yeah. Our film festivals were cancelled because we were ridden with COVID. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to say Uncharted because it's my favorite game franchise.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years in the making with many directors, many scripts, and I think it's going to be such a horrible mess that I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
I kind of hope it's like, if that is the case, it's like a so bad it's fun sort of situation.
That's where my head's at. Yeah, and I think I'll enjoy it if they do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Wahlberg, it's very possible.
Oh, God, yeah.
Either Absolutely. Way, right? But Tom Holland, like... Ugh.
There we go. Yeah. Potential Oscars host, Tom Holland.
If it's not Barbenstar, I'm out.
yes.
Oh, yeah, although the idea that they want Pete Davidson, I think, could be fucking hilarious because that would be a train wreck, and I'm all for that.
Speaking of Pete Davis, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent is a movie not about him. Nicolas Cage, Pedro Pascal, Tiffany Haddish. Do I care what it's about? No. But I am interested that it is a fictionalized version of Cage. Who wouldn't want this?
No, it looks so good.
Who wouldn't? And to round off my list, just because I still can't believe it's real, Jeepers Creepers Reborn.
Oh my God. I forgot that was a thing. I thought it was supposed to come out like 2 years ago.
So the apparent release date is the 28th of April. So it's close. There's no trailer. God. There is a poster, which is just nothing.
And apparently it's actually getting a cinema release too, which is beyond me. I think everyone's forgetting, like, you know that director is like a pedophile, right?
Yeah.
Oh, who's directing it?
Made the original ones.
Victor Salva, I think.
Something like that.
And look, I did add in one last one because I saw the trailer for it before Scream and had no idea it existed. It's called The Black Phone.
Oh, my God, yes.
And
I forgot about that.
That trailer, I was just like, can you just show that before Scream, please? That looks amazing.
It looks horrifying.
So, that was meant to come out the end of this month. And has been pushed to June.
June.
A lot of people thought it got pushed because of Scream. Because Scream is looking like it's going to do very decent horror business. But I will quickly... I'm going to quickly name drop. And I was like, I got to speak to director Scott Derrickson about The Black Phone. And he's made incredible horror films to this point. So that film, I'm definitely all on board as well. Because it looks insane. And Ethan Hawke looks terrifying.
He's so creepy in the trailer.
Didn't even know it was him until I saw the name. And I went, what?
But if people that are listening aren't aware of what Scott Derrickson has made... Go seek out Sinister, which is undoubtedly one of the scariest films ever made. Yes. The Exorcism of Emily Rose, Deliver Us From Evil. And he did Doctor Strange, which has, horror elements to it. So he is, he's up there with like Mike Flanagan for me in terms of consistent horror directors.
Absolutely.
Nice. So that is my list. Let's chat.
God, there's some good movies. I'm really excited. Sorry, Alistair.
He's still on Moonfall.
That's all I'm excited about.
Look, while we've talked about the good, there's definitely going to be... Well, even just looking at what's coming out this year, there's some truly horrible-looking posters and trailers that I'm just like, this is going to be so bad, it's bad category. Yep. I'm thinking Dog, starring Channing Tatum.
Oh, I want that to be good because I like dog movies.
I
know what you mean, though.
I don't hate the trailer for that one, but
anyone think Fantastic Beasts, this will be the last one we get?
Fuck, I hope so.
Yeah, I think it will be.
The enthusiasm for that movie is just non-existent because, J.K. Rowling, you can go right to hell. Yeah.
Unless Mads Mikkelsen gives like the performance of like his life, and everyone goes, unlikely. "Oh my god, now I want to see more of him as Grindelwald." But if he doesn't do that, it's gonna be. I think the movie's kind of dead on arrival anyway, right?
Yeah, Top Gun Maverick. Is anyone excited for this one?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. No. Well, I'm not sorry. I'm not going to apologize for being excited for Top Gun 2. But I was excited when it was supposed to come out in 2019. so I've obviously been waiting a long time for this. The big thing for me is Joseph Kosinski, the director. I think his last film, Only the Brave, was one of my favorite movies of the year it came out. So I know he can make a good movie. So hopefully Top Gun 2 will be out there.
Okay. I have another two that I'm about. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Don't only like poking the bear, you just want to fuck it till it can't walk anymore.
I just have this awful feeling.
Wow.
That
was it, the bear?
It yeah, it was the bear. It's just not going to be this. It's obviously not going to be the same, but it's not going to have the same impact as the first one had.
That's completely fair, because again,
that's a hard film to follow.
Yeah, but you know, it's been a couple of years. That's fine.
How does the part one make you feel as well?
Why?
Yeah,
like why?
Yeah,
unless they have this spectacular plan, and I should say that it is still Lorded Miller.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, Mitchell's versus the Machines should have won the Golden Globe, just saying.
Right. I agreed. Love that movie.
A lot of things should have won Golden Globes that didn't.
Yes. True. Agreed. Yeah,
so if they're involved in the plan over the two movies, then they have my faith, but I'm still just like, it's still Sony.
I know what you mean.
So, unsure. And next to that one is Halloween Ends.
Oof.
Because I don't know if any of you liked Halloween Kills.
Yes.
I thought it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I think Pete and I will be in a bit of agreeance here, because we were obviously at the screening together. And we had a lot of fun with it. Like, I'll speak for myself here. I know it was bad. It was not a structurally well-made movie. The tension was in the violence and not necessarily within the story. But there was some kills in that movie where I was like, this is the gnarliest Halloween movie I've ever seen. And if they think they can top that in Halloween Ends, I'm kind of on board of it. It's probably the same way you feel like about Uncharted. It was so bad that I had a good time with it.
Okay.
So if they can top that in Halloween Ends, like, I'm there for it. But at the same time, I'm not like, it's not one of my most anticipated of the year, but I do remember Pete and I had a lot of fun watching Halloween Kills together.
Yes.
Wow.
No.
Thanks for that.
What a contribution.
Wow. No. Like, my sentiments are with Nick in that it's like, it was. I was watching this going, it's not a good film, but I had a lot of fun with it because it just went all in on 80s nonsense, violence, and all that sort of stuff. So I went with it. Like, I would have appreciated that film to end a few minutes earlier than it did. The stuff at the end with the daughter felt super rushed. I think that should have been what opens this next one. I'm looking forward to the next one just in terms of the fact that they upped the ante so much with Halloween Kills to make it so batshit crazy that I'm kind of wondering where they go. And apparently it is going to pick up like 2 years later, not directly afterwards. So I think it could be kind of cool to see how with that a bit gets of a time. Treated, like a time jump. Like, I think, like, to see maybe Laurie Strode is just, like, completely mental. And it's the same team. So I have just, like, I have a tiny bit of, like, you know, investment in it. But it's not, like, on my list of, like, oh, my God, I must see it. And after Scream, I'm like, you don't stand a chance.
True. Did anyone else have any other movies that they're like,
I do. I put Orphan First Kill on there. Simply because...
Right, yes.
Oh boy.
I like Orphan, right? I like... It's fun. It's a fun thriller horror film. But this one's the sequel, even though they've got Isabel Furman back, it's from the director of The Boy and The Boy 2. And The Boy and The Boy 2 are two of the worst horror films to ever be made.
Is that Katie Holmes one?
That The Boy 2 is with Katie Holmes, yeah. Yeah. Right? It's so... I was like, oh, cool, Orphan First Kill, it could be all right. And then I saw that and I was like, nah, okay, now I'm kind of like, this is not going to be good. Unless he can surprise us. Maybe that was the whole point of The Boy 1 and 2. Give us a bad expectation, then come out with a banger with Orphan First Kill. I just don't think that's going to be the case, though. And then obviously Avatar 2 as earlier. I'm not as sold on this movie. Okay.
There's another one that's sort of, in the sort of Avatar field that we haven't seen any footage from or anything, and that's Baz Luhrmann's Elvis movie.
Ooh.
That's supposed to be coming out this year, and that's in June, which is even closer. Oh,
shit, yeah.
That's even closer than Avatar. Like, I'm surprised we haven't seen anything from that yet.
Pushed back?
Did it?
Yeah, because Tom got COVID.
Okay.
Still
on my list is the 23rd of June. I don't know if that's changed recently or something in the last few weeks, but
going off of
plus, I know that.
Sorry, you go.
I was just gonna say I know that, like, much like James Cameron, Baz seems to push his films for to do extra editing or, you know, make it as perfect as possible. So that could change as well.
But yeah, going off of sequels that, like, I know this one is coming out, but it's, I think, because of the last film, I have less faith. Little Jurassic World Dominion.
I'm just going to jump in and add one more because I didn't realize it was this year. Mario.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, fucking Mario. Just
like the Chris Pratt one.
Yeah. December 26th.
Fuck off.
Oh, wow. Getting that Boxing Day money, I'll give Chris Pratt one thing. That video he came out and did where he just went like, it's a me, a Mario. No, that's not actually... I actually kind of laughed at that, but...
The worst thing, though, is that he said, oh, Mario's not Italian this time. He's normal.
Yeah, like, in fantasy, yeah.
Oh, that's he did like, not say like, that.
Yeah,
he did,
yeah. You realize Italian people
are also normal.
Oh my
normal,
god,
yeah.
I need to find this video. Oh boy.
Yes, I don't... Look, Illumination Entertainment aren't necessarily an animation group that I get overly excited for with their movies, but they seem to make bank at the box office, so they're still so around. Much
How the hell is Sing 2 doing so well? How?
Yeah, Sing 2 like made over $100 million in the States.
Is it,
like,
but it's
wow.
like one of the only anime, like, obviously Disney shafted Encanto when it didn't like do well and they put it on Disney Plus basically within a month. So yeah. Sing 2 is like one of the only animated films out right now, right?
Yeah.
Especially in school holidays. So like,
I think like its only major competition is Clifford.
Right.
At
which
the
was,
moment.
Yeah.
But I think mean, it's proof that Universal, like these studios that are actually sticking to at least a little bit of a window in cinemas, it's like they're actually doing better.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Because
if it
goes to streaming after however long, it's like you're going to get those streaming figures. So it's like it's actually more beneficial for you to put it in cinemas to at least try and get a little bit more money because you're always going to make money on streaming at the moment. So
and
I think that's probably why
terrible
Sing 2,
as well.
I think like, that's why it's at least doing something.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pixar could, you know, turn around with Turning Red.
Oh my
wait.
God.
No.
Yeah. Oh,
no,
my days.
Worst decision.
I don't understand.
I'll be interested to see what they do with Lightyear.
I feel like, you know what? Lightyear will go to cinema and then everyone will be like, oh, the movie led by, like, a white character is staying. Okay.
Oof, yeah.
I know I shouldn't say this and you can cut it out if you want to, but it does, to me, it does, like, these, cutting out these Pixar films, taking them straight to streaming does smell of racism, considering you got, like, Soul.
Yeah.
Then Luca. The now, to, turning red. It's sort of, yeah.
Plus although the fact that the filmmakers weren't aware. You know.
And what are the movies that people are still talking about? And if you look at streaming ratings, what's still in there? Luca, how long ago did that come out? Soul, how long ago did that come out? Like, what the hell?
The best movies Disney have Soul put out are on Disney Plus now. Like,
Soul would have been amazing in cinemas.
Yeah, so it would have. I would have loved to have seen Luca.
Yeah.
In a, anyone else have anything that they're concerned about coming out this year? Anything that's going to probably bomb?
It's probably going to bomb, but I'm excited for it. Is Ambulance, Michael Bay's new movie.
I was just about to say that too.
I really don't want it to bomb because we haven't had like an action movie in a while that's just pure balls to the wall, testosterone driven, nonsensical violence in a couple of years. But it will probably bomb. But I mean, it's got Yahya Abdul-Mateen II and Jake Gyllenhaal leading the film. Like,
we're just going to play a quick little rapid fire game.
Ooh.
Where it's going to be movie versus movie. And you need to tell me without thinking, within 2 seconds, which one will bomb out of the
chat. Okay.
So, I'm not going to ask anyone in particular. You can just jump in when you have your answer. DC League of Super Pets versus Minions The Rise of
DC League of Super Pets.
Minions.
Ooh. I'm going to even it out because I'm going to say Minions as well because The Rock is in Super Pets.
True. Yeah. But is there a Despicable Me that hasn't made almost $1 billion? Remember Minions 1 made almost $1 billion at the box office.
Yeah.
I just like chaos. I just want to see Minions.
fun to be controversial. Death on the Nile versus Spencer.
Death on the
Spencer's,
Nile.
Spencer's going to do nothing.
Is that like a comparative to box office? Like to budget, sorry. Wow.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I suppose Spencer will make, compared to box office, to budget.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like
I'm just saying, is it going to bomb? And that can include audience, critic,
Death on the Nile is going to bomb with like critics.
Sorry, Brad. I know you're excited for it,
mate. No. I fully expect it to do nothing. I mean, you know, it's I don't have any hopes. As long as I get to see it at the cinema, I'm fine.
That's it. Yeah.
I don't care. You know, I don't care.
I should have said. I nearly said. Should have gone to Disney Plus.
No.
Cinema experience.
Cinema experience. Yes. Always. Always.
The Batman versus Flash.
Flash.
Even with Michael Keaton. Wow.
I think there's just too much hype with the Batman at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it's going to be like Spider-Man No Way Home, but like, I think it's going to make some money.
I think Batman will make decent money in the fact that we're still very much with like heavy COVID influences. By the time Flash comes out, if things have died down, Flash might end up making like more money just because of the situation.
Yeah.
That could possibly happen. But I also think Batman's going to do critically much better.
Okay. And this is a bonus round. Mm-hmm. Morbius versus Avatar 2.
Oh. They're both not real movies.
Yes. Oh, that was going to be my joke, damn you.
Sorry.
Neither. They are not real.
That's the correct answer, obviously.
Yes. That is the correct
answer. I don't think I'm going to believe.
Except just to throw things in the wind. You know what? Avatar 2, because I still think Morbius will probably make money because Avatar 2 is definitely not seeing the light of day this year.
No. Yeah. No. I'm not going to believe I'm watching Morbius until I'm in the screening.
The
whole
end credits
movie
roll.
Has played, and the end credits roll. I'm like, so it is real.
See, I always thought they were kept pushing it because there was something in it that linked to Venom 2.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And then I thought, okay, maybe Spider-Man No Way Home. And now I'm like, well,
yeah, right. Nothing. Okay. Yeah.
maybe there's nothing in it. And it's just trash. All right. Anything else? Any other movies anyone want to talk about coming out in 2022?
All good.
No. That's it.
Yeah.
Enough for me. Yeah.
Okay. There was minimal support for Black Adam, which I'm very surprised.
Fuck all you guys.
I'm like, I'll watch it, but I'm not like dying.
You've said enough, Nick. It's fine.
One more that I did want to mention, because this looks like the biggest piece of trash I've ever seen. Operation
Flood. I haven't seen the trailer for this yet.
Guy Ritchie's film.
Okay.
I think you should go and watch it. Because if you watch the trailer and then I found out it was Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, because I don't know what's up with Guy Ritchie lately. Because Wrath of Man was the most different movie I've seen from him. Like a very different movie I've seen from him. And now the poster for this looks like it should be a direct-to-DVD sort of thing. But maybe not. Okay, I'll watch the trailer.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But Guy Ritchie's next film will star Jake Gyllenhaal, which I'm not angry about.
Wow, Ritchie's pumping him out. He's doing like a movie a year or something, is he?
This year.
Yeah, good on him. Good on him. I'm all fine there for it.
Nick, what is essential in your pop culture this week?
Well, as it was alluded to earlier, I'm currently in COVID isolation, so I've spent lots of time at home doing nothing for the past week, but I have been playing Guardians of the Galaxy on PlayStation 5 because I didn't get a chance to play it when it came out, and it is so much fun. After the absolute garbage fire that was the Avengers from Square Enix, love that they've come out and made a really great narrative-driven third-person shooter game that feels different enough from the movies. Like, it doesn't feel like James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy, but there's still all the things that you kind of loved about those guys in the Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm really enjoying that. I'm about halfway through it now, so I think that's definitely worth playing.
Thank you. Brad?
Well, speaking of James Gunn, I'm looking forward to The Peacemaker this weekend, which has just been released, the first 3 episodes. So I'll be watching that this weekend because I'm a big fan of his.
I'm also a fan of John Cena, but probably for a different
reason. I know the reason why, Alistair, because there was a lot of things in that first episode that I was like, ha!
There's a big reason in that first episode, isn't there?
Well, because that's funny, because you mentioned Scream, and then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to say Scream. I'm going to say Peacemaker. And then Peacemaker got taken, and I'm like, wait, do you want to leave anything for the queer guy to talk about? Jesus Christ. So, you know what? Go out there and watch Scream. Go out there and watch Peacemaker and enjoy John Cena's giant cock. And and then report back, because I feel like lots of conversations can be had.
I do. There is a TV show called Station 11. It's currently screening on Stan in Australia. If you're overseas, HBO Max. It is based on the book of the same name. If you are terrified about the pandemic, do not watch this show. The premise is a flu-type virus wipes out 95%
called Mamona virus.
And the remaining 5% have to basically not catch this disease and live. And the story is good because it actually follows a group of actors who create a Shakespearean traveling theater company that go around to different surviving camps and provide entertainment while
they get their protein from John Cena
and mold and that is the crossover we need. Thank you so much for tuning in. That is it for our first episode of Pop Culture Essentials for 2022. What are you looking forward to? If you're still around, make sure you answer our poll. If you're listening to us on Spotify, just open your Spotify app right about now. As always, you can check out our reviews and the latest interviews, trailers, and more at our website, novastreamnetwork.com. Look us up on your socials at NovastreamN. I'm your host, Alistair, and we will be back next week with another episode.